AM 1470, today's Christian music for the Valley. AM 1470, WPAO, Farrell, Youngstown.
It's Friday evening, January the 16th, and this is Issues and Answers, a Biblical Perspective. Stay strong and
mighty. Good evening. The guest with us, the author of Lying Wonders, Bob Kaminsky. I'd just like to take the opportunity to invite you to come and worship with us at First Assembly of God in Vienna, 5000 Warren Sharon Road. We have a wonderful congregation and who would love to receive you. If you have any questions on the issues, we can gladly answer your questions.
Thank you, Pastor. We're on the bubble a little bit here this evening. We just got ready to go on the air, and we found out our phone line isn't working to the guests that we're going to be interviewing from Washington State. So we're going to ad lib here a little bit and set the stage, hopefully, and we'll make a connection here and get a chance to share with Bob Kaminsky, who wrote a book last fall called The Lying Wonders, and he's a charismatic Catholic who has been given unique insight into the UFO phenomena and all the different related subject matter that goes along with it. So Bob will be with us shortly, hopefully, and we'll get the lines up and running. And if not, we'll have to change our format and go a different direction and kind of off the cuff talk about issues related to his book and get you to respond. But in the event we get on the line with Bob tonight, we won't be taking calls. We can't take calls. We're not upset. We're not set up to do that. So we'll let you know more fully in the very near future what we're going to do on that issue. Nevertheless, this is Issues and Answers, a Biblical Perspective. I'm Jim Cunningham. Pastor Gary Roy is the pastor of the First Assembly of God in Vienna, Ohio, and we have been on the air for the last 3 months dealing with paranormal issues of the end times, dealing with prophecy, dealing with areas that a number of people have been hesitant to enter into, and that being basically dealing with the UFO phenomena and all the paranormal material that goes along with that. About 25 years ago, I believe God quickened me to begin to look at this issue because of what was coming at us in the end of the age and wants the church to be very much aware that there are events that could take place, could have a dramatic effect upon us in the very near future relating to UFOs. It's called the strong delusion of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And God has revealed his thoughts along that line apparently to a number of men because they've written on the issue and they are trying to make the church aware that we need to be up and running on this and make people fully aware of what UFOs and all the paranormal material associated with it, what it means. So we're attempting at this time to make contact with Bob, and when we do, we'll bring him on and let him share with us what the Lord has shared with him on that issue. So we encourage you just to stay tuned and listen. Let me give you a little bit of background on Bob while we're working on this problem here. And here's a little bit of a bio on Robert Kaminsky. Bob is a retired Boeing aerospace engineer executive. He received a Bachelor of Science degree in Electrical Engineering Communications from the Milwaukee School of Engineering. Bob has engaged in the Christian Charismatic Renewal for the past 15 to 17 years now and is currently involved in various Christian denominational and non-denominational outreaches. His interest in UFOs began in 1953 while he was on active duty in the U.S. Navy, while on training exercises in the Gulf of Mexico. He observed a strange plot of radar screens aboard the USS Monterey CVL 26. For many years prior to this, the author dismissed UFOs as a figment of other people's imagination. His skepticism claimed primarily because of questionable stories published and unpublished. Although most important, UFO phenomenon was not an issue clearly covered in the Bible, he needed to get some answers. Becoming a student of the Bible, Bob began to look for the answers. This commenced his research and posed the question, if flying saucers were not specifically covered in the Bible, then how do we account for the strange reports from reasonable people? Lying Wonders, Evil's Encounter of the Close and Kind, is a work comprised of the fallout research discovered while determining the spiritual aspects of UFOs. We still haven't made contact with Bob, but we're trying Nevertheless, just to give you a little more backdrop as to what we're attempting to do, we're trying to raise the awareness of the body of Christ on this particular issue, and also hopefully if we would gain some information that we could share with the people in the New Age realm, we would love to gain their attention and make them aware of what is coming at us in this respect. So we just hope that you'll stay tuned and listen. Again, we're attempting to make contact, have not done so as of this time. The UFO phenomena is not just a modern phenomenon. It's been with us from the beginning of the ages. Cultures from around the world have talked about this subject, have recorded information about this subject, and it's been thought to be myth by many throughout the ages. But more and more as we look into the heavens and realize the immensity of it, and they're beginning to find that there are many planets out there being circled by suns just like our own, the question that is brought to the fore is there life in outer space? Many people from the Christian perspective have held to the point that that just cannot be, that we are the center of everything and there is no life, at least a life such as flesh and blood, beyond this planet. God is definitely created an immense creation. It's obvious, much of it is physical, and so therefore it raises the question, is there life in outer space? And if there is, what merit does it have for us to know about it? So the UFO phenomenon is very real. I'm going to read a little bit of a letter that Bob had sent me in the mail earlier this week, and he was talking about a time out in the West when he was initially assigned to do a task of looking into the Minuteman missile incident. He was, as I said, worked for Boeing, and while working for them, he was brought in to do some research on some missiles that had went offline and they wouldn't fire. And recently some gentlemen that are wanting to do some follow-up research on that contacted Bob, and they were asking him questions about his involvement in it. And they were asking him for names and places and times of individuals that he knew of that were associated with this thing. And this is his response. He says, sorry for the long delay. First of all, yes, Colonel Arneson, which was one of the people they were looking for, is the same guy I was referring to. I thought it would be good to have a statement in your book by the guy who saw the messages. Secondly, tonight I hope you were listening to Art Bell. He had on a guy named Robert O'Dean who had cosmic clearance in NATO and was aware of several incidents. The one in Maelstrom Air Force Base and others, both Russian and ours. This is where the incident took place at Maelstrom, and the Russians also apparently had that same kind of a problem. He also said one of our missiles went, though, a countdown like the Russian one. The Russians had an event one time when a UFO showed up over one of their silos, and all of a sudden the computer kicked in, and this thing began to count down for launch and created panic for those people. And apparently we had that the same thing happen in our country here. He said, I did not know of another site. He also mentioned that a UFO lifted off a 20-ton missile door at another site and melted down the warhead. I heard of this happening, but never was involved with it. He also said that the various governments know of many types of celestial extraterrestrials, about a dozen various groups or commands operating out there. Some not too friendly, though. Seems that you might get hold of this guy if he is for real. So that was a little bit of a communication. There is a great deal of interest by people that are researching the UFO phenomena, and they want to know, is this thing for real? What is going on? What is this intrusive act that's taking place in our country? One of the reasons that I got involved in this this study many years ago was because of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. As I began to read that one day, I began to realize it talked about an end-time event, and we have made that reference many times on this program, from the strong delusion point, that something is going on in that respect. We just finally made contact with Bob. Apparently, he was able to get through to us, and we couldn't get through to him, so we'll get back to that. But nevertheless, the strong delusion, I believe, is going to include the UFO phenomena and many of the things related to it that are going to try to persuade people to give up the idea and the pursuit of that, to believe that God's way is the correct way of doing things and following what he has called us to. So with that, we're going to switch over here momentarily and have Bob come on and let him share with us some of his thoughts and views from his book, Lying Wonders. As I read the bio earlier, you know that Bob is a very adept, a very well-trained individual, and knows how to do research very intimately on subjects like this. So we're going to try to get him up and bring him on in just a minute. Are we ready? Okay, we're ready. Hello, Bob. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
We are having a time, aren't we?
It seems I guess that these things do happen.
Yeah. We started about 3 minutes before the program to try to bring you up, and our lines were down because...
Hello?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello?
He can't hear me.
Hello?
He's saying hello. He can't hear. We're still having trouble here. For some reason, there's somebody outside. There's someone outside working on the phones, and we're having a little bit of difficulty. So I apologize for these discrepancies. We'll continue to talk until we resolve these technical problems. These are the nightmares of live talk radio. They do happen, and we don't know why. We have Bob on one line, but when we try to switch him over and bring him on board so he can talk with us, we're having some difficulty. So we're going to continue to work on that. So we're going to, again, tell you that Bob is well-read, well-researched in this field, and knows about the UFO phenomena and has written about it in his book called Lying Wonders. And in that book, it says this. It says, finally, here is a book that offers a timely and fascinating look into some of the strange happenings invading Christianity today. Bob Kaminsky, a charismatic Catholic, explores the trendy New Age paranormal UFO phenomena with unique and in-depth insight into the consciousness event he calls the Luciferic Initiation. Okay, I'm going to have to improvise here. I'm bringing a phone to my ear, Bob, so I don't know how this is going to sound. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, I can, Jim. You guys are having a lot of fun back there.
Apparently, yeah. I don't know whether you heard or not. We have some technicians outside working on lines, and apparently they have disrupted our service here, so I apologize for that, but we're glad we got you again. Sorry it had to come this way one more time.
That's quite all right. This is, you know, we go with what we have to, and, hey, maybe it's something good to come out of this.
Are we having fun or what? It seems like every time we get together, we have fun.
We sure do.
Okay. Okay, I'm just basically did a bio on you and told people a little bit about you and about your engineering activities with Boeing,
yes.
Talked about your UFO sighting aboard the military craft, also talked about, I think it was aboard a military craft
you was
on, or
did yeah, I? Yeah, there was an aircraft carrier.
Okay, and so we've talked a little bit about that. I did a little bit of a bio on your book and let people know about it. So we're going to bring you in now and let you kind of fill in the spaces that I may have missed and tell a little more about yourself. And then we'll get in and ask you some questions about what all of this is about and hopefully bring some issues to the fore that will help people understand that we have something very important going on, very relevant, that we need to address and be aware of as Christians and anyone else that's delving into interest in UFOs and all the paranormal material that goes with it. We believe we have some insight that might help them understand more perfectly what's going on. So if you will, just give a little more information on yourself, and then we'll proceed with the questioning.
Oh, certainly. Well, as I mentioned, and probably you mentioned it again in the bio, but I have a background in engineering in training. I'm an electrical engineer, electronics, and I also have a biblical perspective to the charismatic movement and a student of the Bible for many, many years. I work with a charismatic group in a Catholic church as a prayer meeting, and I'm also an assistant pastor at a small church that we meet on Sunday afternoons. So I'm involved in a lot of things. I do a lot of street ministry on Friday nights. In fact, I won the William A. Allen Award here at Boeing for that service in the Puget Sound area, in the Seattle area. But where I really took off is listening to people coming to me with various strange and varied stories that I couldn't define or didn't have an answer for. My theology didn't fit what they were telling me. And so I had to start go looking and do a lot of research. And being an engineer, of course, we take a look at all the facts and try to start boxing them, looking for threads and trends and find out what we can. And that's what I did here on the UFO and the abduction scenario. I find that most of Christianity, unfortunately, is asleep on the subject. Few people are waking up. Some pastors, some churches are trying to make an attempt to bring their people into some knowledge of this. However, the majority of... ...are being prepared to receive the new paradigm shift, receive UFOs and aliens as normal kinds of things. I'm worried about that because it really doesn't fit the totality of what we know in God's Word. And so using God's Word as a standard, which I know you stand with,
sure.
I had to take a real hard assessment and take a look at it as I went through the various things. So my background took me through a lot of paranormal, ungodly types of things and some good Christian writers, too, and tried to figure out what's happening. What really tweaked it and kicked it off is a story I have in the book about a gal by the name of Sue who came to me one day and she started telling me some strange stories about UFO sightings and things happening to her. And I said, wait a minute, this can't be. You're a Christian. You love the Lord. You praise God. You're a very neat person. God guides your life. You read His Word. How can this happen? So... but then after talking to her at length and finding out that her past, she was involved in witchcraft in her younger days. That opened a door that I believe that she never totally closed. And so I find there's a thread to people who have these esoteric experiences, they could be in the church or out of the church, that might be leaving their minds open to these possibilities.
Okay, I'm just wondering now, we're going to do a little... check here. Can you hear me still?
Yes, I can.
Okay, we're okay then. We were having to work off of the phone, so now I guess we'll be able to go back to the mic and it'll pick everything up.
Well, hope it'll hold together.
Okay, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
You still hear me?
Yes, I do.
Okay, we're good. We're up and running, ladies and gentlemen. So now we can kind of like
good.
Relax a little bit here.
You bet.
And get back into the program. Pastor Gary's with us here. I just want him to jump in and preach.
Oh, sure. Hi,
preach,
Gary.
And he... probably has something he would like to ask you right up front also.
You bet.
Hello, Bob. I remember we talked with you a number of times before.
Yes.
And we certainly appreciate your work and your book. I was just looking at the dollar bill, and I know you've written a little bit about or know a little bit about the New World Order.
Yes.
And your feelings on what's coming in the future.
Uh-huh.
But on the Great Seal... a lot of people look at their dollar bills and they really don't notice this, but it says Novus Ordo Sectorum. I'm probably not pronouncing that properly. You having a Catholic background, having Latin, probably do a better job of it as me.
Well, actually, my Latin is pretty rusty, but yes. As a matter of fact, I think Stan Deo, in his book called The Cosmic Conspiracy, really describes the meaning of what's happened there, and it has a Masonic background in its design. I can't tell you the real meaning of it, but we all see the all-seeing eye there when thinking it to be a godly thing, and it really isn't. It's referring to Lucifer, the angel of light. So what else about that dollar bill would you like to do except have more of them?
Well, my question is, where are we going in our government? It seems to be that no matter who is president, whether they're Democrat or Republican or what their religious bent is, we seem to go in the same direction. To me, it doesn't seem like the government is really controlling this. Is there a kind of a group in the background running things?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I'm sort of glad you brought that up, Gary, because at the last time I was on the program, there were several questions on this, and I gave some answers. After I got off the program, I began to rethink some of the things. I said, you know, I really didn't do an adequate job in trying to describe what I have found as just a basic researcher, that somewhere behind all of this stuff, there is a plan at work, and it's a it's some kind of a sleuth kind of thing. You can't really see it or feel it, but you can tell it. It's sort of a string that weaves through everything that you read in this New Age movement. There's a, I don't know if you've heard of this guy, but there's a guy by the name of Malachi Martin, who is a high-ranking priest in the Catholic Church. He's an exorcist. He goes around and does exorcisms. He's a rather unusual person. And he's been on various radio programs, and he's written a book called The Keys of This Blood. Now, he deals, he sees things. Now, many of the people in the religious circles, and that includes a lot of our Catholic brethren, do not see the New World Order or where it's coming from, where it's going. But he does. In fact, in his book, he mentions a couple of things. He says, talks about these globalists, in other words, New World Order type things. Common to all these aspiring globalist contenders is the fact that of themselves, they lack even the most basic tools for practical contention, geopolitical contention. They neither have extensive articulated organization or a means to network with all the nations. He says some of these groups have simply decided to wait out their geopolitical impotence in the belief that someday, somehow, they will achieve this global status. It's of principal interest. In terms of the present influence, however, there are certain more venturesome groups who plan to piggyback a ride to global status and supremacy by straddling any vehicle that appears to be heading their direction. He goes on to say something else that's very, I'm getting to the meat of this, and I think it'll address where I think we're going. Such in particular are thousands of New Agers in our midst, and such too are the so-called mega-religionists, those who are persuaded and who work to persuade us all that religions of the world are fusing into one global spanning mega religion of mankind. He said then the members of both these groups wax poetic about their vision. They imagine a grand design, a new world order will be at a great temple of human understanding. You ever hear that before? And truly global home of all nations will resound with the languages of every race and tribe, but they will all harmonize into one. And then the temple of human understanding will be roofed over with all-inclusive allegiance to the common good. Hear that? We can see that coming, don't we? It's all around us. Its walls will be decorated with the icons of new values, peacefulness, healthfulness, respect for earth, and environmental devotion. But overall, there will be a great icon of understanding. And then, this is the shocker, what divinity exists will be accepted as incarnate in man, divinity of, for, and by, and only within mankind. All other shapes and concepts of divinity will melt, and are already melting, fusing gently and irresistibly into the understanding of mankind's own godly power, fashioning his own design. I thought that was really powerful. Now, this is a guy that's well-respected, and he sees where we're heading across the world, according to these global revisionists and globalists. And this is the New World Order. Now, your question was really all-encompassing. The New World Order is really fascinating coming together, because over the years, you know, we've had nations. The time of Christ, the various nations, good nations, bad nations, they come and go. No one's ever really tied them all together. Alexander the Great tried, Genghis Khan tried, the Roman Order, they tried and probably were the most successful, but they didn't complete the job either. But something behind the scenes is now gluing all the nation's economies, all the things that come together, cultures are melting together. There's something behind pulling this world together, and it is not godly design. God's order is not here yet. Yeah, it's on its way, but it's not here yet.
Okay. So, having said all of that, and the name of your book is Lying Wonders.
Right.
Does that basically, from what you've said, does that imply that your book is another anti-New Age book?
Well, yes, it is, but it's different in this sense. There's a lot of good writers who have written things about the New Age and where we're going in the New Age. William Alnor is one of them. He wrote the book, The UFOs, The New Age, and so forth. And The Winter World Will Be Won by Tal Brook. These are all good books, but no one sort of describes or pulls together the practicality of seeing where we are and where we're heading. I think my book, Lying Wonders, does that in a practical sense. It gives you examples. It tells you what's happening in the front of the book through the Luciferic initiation. Then I bring in the UFOs and the enigma it has caused mankind and the adventure it seems to bring into a lot of people's minds. And then I demonstrate the difficulties for the theological crowd, the churches and so forth, who are not aware of what's going on. So that's my attempt to show that somewhere behind the scenes, there is a controlling force, a ruling cabal. What we see in the New World Order that's coming into play is going to be visible, and it will pull together. We'll see it as a visible thing. But behind that, I believe there is an invisible cabal that's calling the strings and bringing this all together.
I was going to ask the next question then. You talked about the Luciferic initiation.
Yes.
What is it?
Well, the Luciferic initiation is something that I've sort of stumbled on because as I began to do my research and reading through a lot of paranormal things, I began to see, hey, there's a lot of ways that people are being fooled or tricked. And what I defined it to be is a real spiritual consciousness event where a person accepts and embraces ungodly wisdom, inactivity, and sometimes, very often, in ignorance, in such a way that it guides their personal life and convictions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in there, we don't see anything about Satan, but what it is, it's offering alternatives to biblical precepts, and that's the scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
What I really see is there's many, many paths. You know, a lot of people say there's many paths to God, so we can go any path we want. I really can't embrace that. There are many paths to Lucifer, though, and he has set up multiple paths you see in the front of the book, which mm-hmm. I tried to describe.
Right.
And you ask the question, what is the Luciferic initiation? I really think it's nothing more than simply Satan's spiritual technique to mislead and deceive people of this world through a planetary spiritual consciousness, that's New Age, and demonic wisdom to believe something other than the truth of God's word.
So what do you think? Do you think the church is ready to tackle this new planetary consciousness?
No. Unfortunately, they aren't. That's my real concern. That's why I wrote the book. That's why I think people like yourself and Pastor Gary, I think you guys are on the forefront of things. I think you're stirring people's hearts. You're starting to make them think. You know, we know that God said, you know, in the end times, even this, the deception would be so great that even the elect, if it were possible, would be misled. Well, you know, if the elect can be misled, where does it... But what happens to the rest of the people?
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel people who don't have a real close personal relationship with Jesus Christ, walking close with him and knowing the power of the Holy Spirit and guiding their lives, giving them wisdom and discernment, they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. A lot of people going to church today read their horoscopes, are involved in white magic, all kinds of things. Their children are playing Dungeons and Dragons, and nobody's looking after the store. I don't hear very much coming from the pulpit. Pastor Gary, you probably remember years ago whenever you were much younger, and I'm not sure how old you are, but I do remember years ago I used to hear them talk about the condemnation of the paranormal events and the scariness about it and warning us to stay away from this stuff. I don't hear it anywhere anymore.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of a gentleman named Leon Legant, L-E-G-A-N-T?
No, I can't say I have.
I recently was out on the internet and I was just looking for material and I came across this and as I listen to you talk, I think how well this gentleman fits the scenario you're talking about, the individual that comes to us in sheep's clothing, so to speak. But I just want to basically reference some of the things that he says and see how long it is before he gets into trouble with us. Basically, he says, as a psychic, I have gathered
observations while working with hundreds of people contacted by aliens, and using my clairvoyance to understand these multidimensional beings, the purpose of sharing this information with you is to illuminate what goes on during an alien encounter. And he goes on and he talks about we live in a multidimensional universe.
Yes.
We humans live in physical form on a third-dimensional planet consisting of time, space, and matter. Our brains are designed to sense physical matter and our primary reality. As our species evolves, we are slowly becoming more aware of multidimensional life forms such as angels and aliens. And he goes on down through and he talks about the interdimensional beings.
Yes.
And he begins to say that angels are spiritual.
Yes.
Usually non-physical beings who were created in other dimensions. Angels
That's right.
were first beings created by God, helping with the creation of the universe, galaxy, stars, planets, etc. Angels help God with the creation of life throughout the cosmos. And he just goes on, he just sounds like a good brother, and he finally comes down, he acknowledges Jesus Christ, what a wonderful person he is, and he finally comes down to the point and says, under the title of karma, if I can drop down here and find it, I just wanted to read very quickly what he said about karma, and I don't see it right in front of me. Oh, here it is. Here he said, living on this planet means not only affecting others, but also being affected by them. Those that learn that they enjoy creating pain for others may need to learn kindness through being harmed and abused by another person. Those people then learn what it is like to be on the receiving end. We learn these lessons not in one lifetime, but thousands. We incarnate as lovers, killers, and witches. So here's, he claims that he believes in God. He believes there's godly angels. He believes there's ungodly angels. He believes there's demons. He believes in healing. He believes in prayer. This is the only resource to get in contact with God. He believes we are psychic. Is there anything wrong with what he's saying?
Well, a lot of what he seems to have there sounds good, but I have a little bit of a problem. We were placed on Earth in this reality, and God has given us the mechanism through prayer and worship to plug into Him and to be, you know, blessed by Him, receive His grace, and so forth. But these psychic gifts you have to be very careful about them. Too many people that are now into white witchcraft are calling these psychic gifts, doing all these things, and you don't know where it begins and ends, is really occultic. So I have a problem with some of that. Does that sort of give you an idea where I'm coming from on that?
Bob, are you familiar with the writings of a Dr. David Allen Lewis? He wrote a book on UFOs.
No, I'm not. I've got many books here, but I don't have that one.
Well, in his book, he investigated a number of people's claims of having contact of what we call the third kind. And in his book, he wrote that when he investigated these individuals, that they always seemed to have some tie with the occult. In
yes.
your experience, would you find that that's true?
Oh, yes. That is absolutely true. Really true. As a matter of fact, the story I was telling you about Sue that I described in the book, her son, she called me just the other day. Now, that door is closing on her. It's closed. She doesn't have these experiences anymore, but her son does have some of these things happening to her. And going home through a night storm here the other night, he was driving to his home, and all of a sudden, there was a flash of light. He found himself driving through a light tunnel, and then he realizes that he lost 10 minutes of time. So, and he does have some mental problems, and he hasn't closed the door in his life yet. But yes, there is occultic connections, no question about it. What's really happening, Jim and Gary, is the enemy is cleaning up his act. He knows what offends Christians and what we can label and understand it. And so he's used new terminology, new techniques, new ways to bring us into the old stuff, if you know what I'm talking about. Seances, astral travel, new words, remote viewing, so forth. Yes, there is a definite connection.
To answer your question you asked before about preaching about Dungeons and Dragons and my feeling on this, I feel we're right there, and the church needs to stand up and preach against these things, especially when we turn the television on and we have the ancient religions
yes.
of the Babylonians right on our television sets with the psychic network.
Oh.
And we're being told to go and call and to sort of consort with these people.
Yes, exactly. They're looking good. See, the enemy has cleaned up his act somewhat. And people who are calling in, and believe it or not, some things that may be happening on those telecons may sound like they're true and they really do know about me and so forth kind of thing. And so they go away with the feeling that, hey, I'm getting something out of this, and it does really work. But this is the danger. You're opening your mind. And as soon as we open our mind up to these things, we're susceptible to many things that's going to come and invade our spirit. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Here's another piece of information I'd like for you to analyze. I'm pretty sure that in your research you must have surely read some of Zachary Sitchin's material.
Yes.
And you know the story about the Anunnaki and the story of creation.
Yes.
How they reportedly, according to Zachary Sitchin and a number of other people that work in that field, they believe that those accounts are where Moses got his information about creation from and ad-libbed and enhanced it, and now that's what we have the Hebrew Christian presentation today.
Right.
What's your opinion on the idea that we were genetically created back in 200,000 years ago, and the aliens have come and basically genetically altered us over the centuries? What's your feel on that from your biblical perspective?
Well, let me tell you, that is not biblical. It's flat out not biblical. You know, God creates, and you know, when he creates, he does something good. He said, "But I created man and the earth, it was good."
Uh-huh.
Now, he didn't say, "I'm going to send in spiritual mechanics to fix the flaws that I designed."
Uh-huh.
No, I think these people have a ring of truth. I think some of the things they're finding may be factual and truth, but when it comes to putting them together and drawing the final conclusion, they're off the wall.
That reminds me, you made that statement about truth, and I haven't heard that. It just flashed through my mind as you said it. I had a pastor friend about 20 years ago as I began my studies on this issue 20-some years ago, and he reminded me to be very cautious. He said, there are truths, and then there is truth.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Excellent.
So I think that we find that to be true in this case, that these people are coming to us with very cordial, very loving, very exhorting, very... encouraging information, but they always wrap it, whether it's Arrigo, the surgeon with the rusty knife, or Dr. Fritz, who
yes.
comes and heals people without anesthesia, and then they teach reincarnation out of that. That really is what we have to deal with. Is it's more the spiritual medicine that they're trying to feed us that we need to be careful of.
Exactly. And at all deals, I think with our mind, what we're susceptible and what we're open to. And talking about those spiritual aspects of saying mantras, I think I cover in my book, Lang Wanderer. In fact, I do about an incident where a woman, a very warm, charming woman, comes on and talks about how God had come and taught her how to say the Lord's Prayer. And, however, she could never get it straight. She could never get it quite. For 13 hours, she was in this trance with the Father, supposedly, had taught her to say over and over and over the Lord's Prayer. And all that was all about was using the Lord's Prayer as a mantra and opening her mind for control of other spiritual aspects and other spirits.
So meditation could be, or chanting or repeating something could open a door to our being.
Oh, you better believe it. I think we find that in Matthew, too. We don't say repetitive prayers over and over. No. This is opening ourselves up.
Okay, I'm going to ask this question first, then I'll do a follow-up. But basically, you've talked about the Luciferic initiation in the spirit world. Do you believe there is a reality in the UFO community? Is that for real, or is that something we're just being hoaxed by the government on?
Well, we're being hoaxed, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. But I believe there's two aspects to this answer. Number one, why it's really hard to nail it down is because they're here now and they're gone now. So in other words, they're seen and unseen. They come and they go, and so therefore they leave behind very little evidence. There is some evidence, and there is some hard evidence, I believe, when we take a look at some of the books like Revelations from Jack Valley and Above Top Secret, UFO cover up by Timothy Good, the Roswell incident by Kevin Randall. I believe these people really are on top of something. The Roswell incident has been shredded and dissected and looked at from many different aspects. But there are too many credible people saying things about the Roswell incident, and some of them died off now, but too many credible people still alive saying what they saw and what they felt and what happened there. And Kevin Randall did a very good job in going back 30 years later and piecing together the facts as he could find them for the people who were still alive. Now, Colonel Corso is the one that really blew the lid off of this. And I don't know if you're aware of his book, The Day After Roswell, but he really blew it all to pieces. He was intimately involved in the hardware aspect. In other words, once a UFO manifests itself here and becomes materialized in our dimension, and something happens like a crash, it's stuck here, and they become hard evidence. Now, Colonel Corso, under General Trudeau, whenever he was alive, back in the 60s, they inherited certain materials that came from the UFO crash at Roswell. That's according to Colonel Corso. And he said they back-engineered a lot of the material they found. They didn't know what it was, and they would go to the various commercial companies here across the United States, and Bell Labs being one of them. And from that, from those materials they took, the integrated circuits came from them, night vision goggles from another item that they discovered there, fiber optics, super tenacity fibers that we now use in bulletproof vesting, and laser surgical cutting tools. He says all these things were back-engineered from debris that they recovered from the Roswell crash. Now, that's hard. That's hard. And Colonel Corso, one of the things that really blows the lid on this behind the government scenes is that he stuck his neck out. Now, he's retired and he's in his 80s, and he's talked on many programs already. His book covers this in great detail. Do you know what has not happened ever since this book came out? There has not been one word in the paper, really, to dig into this. The government and the military are absolutely mum, quiet. There's been no rebuttal. Nothing has been said about it. I find that very, very strange. But Colonel Corso does a tremendous job in exposing the hardware aspects of this thing. Recently, there was a show on the other side of this, Dr. Stephen Greer, who heads up the Center for Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, SETI, and Steve Bassett. He's a lobbyist to Congress on UFOs, and his organization is Paradigm Research Group. They were asked to give briefings to the White House staff recently and several congressional committees about what they had in data and concerning UFOs. He was asked and met with the head of the CIA, Woolsey, in last August, to inform him of the information he had, which was quite shocking to Woolsey. And he wants Congress to have open hearings concerning this because he believes the black budget people and the cabal behind this is somehow running things and keeping a lid on everything. He has a list of nearly 100 government and civilian witnesses, employees, ready to testify about the government involvement in UFOs. How do you like that one?
That's good, Bob. Bob, but if reported abductions are real, then how does one find God in all of this?
That's what started me on my search. That's what really got me going. I said, hey, you know, and halfway through my search, Gary, I got to thinking, you know, one night about 3 o'clock in the morning, digging through a lot of this stuff, I just felt very unclean. I just got a feeling. I read a couple of stories that so shook me up that I threw the book down, and I said, I can't take anymore. This is just too much. Where is God in all this? Is God, where are you? Did you exist? Did you allow these things to happen? Well, I got on my knees, said a small prayer, went to bed, got up in the morning, and something God done for me during the night. I got up in the morning, and the fear or the feeling I had that night was gone. And he's given me the ability now to dig into this stuff
running out of time, Bob. I know you have another program interview you have to do at the top of the hour, and we have to let you go to do that. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to, in the wrap-up, if you will, please, on your part here this evening, two-parter again. What do you believe is ahead for the church in America, and should we as Christians live in fear of our future? Now, you've said no fear, but could you answer that second part again for me? What do you believe is ahead for the church in America? Are we going to prosper, be in good health, and live happily ever after? And should we be afraid of this enemy within?
Well, I'd like to take the second one first. First of all, I believe we should not be in fear if we're knowledgeable and we have a close relationship with our God. We are moving to end times. And in these end times, I think two things are going to happen. Number one, I think there is going to be a kind of a revival that's going to go on. God's going to continue to move people into his kingdom and into, by his grace, into salvation, which we have to be alert to. I think there's going to be an exciting thing going on, but simultaneously with that, the enemy is going to be at work to set up the new world order and to bring us further down the path. When Paul talks about the final apostasy, when everything will come apart, then I think that unless you have a very good relationship with your faith in Jesus Christ, knowing him as Savior, I think you will be vulnerable, and even the elect may be led astray. That's what I think the future has. Our job is to keep people from falling into that pit, and from that, there's no fear. People who might have fear are the ones who don't have a good relationship with Jesus.
Okay, we were talking with Bob Kaminsky, author of Lying Wonders. Again, Bob, thank you for communicating with us the insight that God has shared with you, and we just trust you'll have a good evening and a good interview in the next hour. And thank you again for coming our way. You saved the day again. We appreciate that.
Well, no, I figured something was going on. But, hey, thank you very much. God bless you guys. Keep up the good work.
Okay, take care.
Right, bye-bye.
God bless. We're going to turn now, and Pastor Gary is going to come and share biblical commentary with us. We just encourage you to listen closely to what he says. And maybe, if time permits, we can take a phone call before the top of the hour and let you, my engineer just looked at me and raised his eyebrows. We may not be adjusted for that, but we could try anyway. If you have comments you'd like to make on that, feel free to try. If not, you can call us next week at the number 448-5061. So here's Pastor Gary.
Well, I'm going to use a quote from you, Jim. You're always saying that we need to have a biblical, or we need to have a reference point, and that reference point is the Bible. In these last days, there are going to be many voices, and we have many voices in our society today, especially when you turn the television on or turn the radio on. You hear so many things. You hear about the psychic network. You hear about the astrologist and the palm readers and people that tell you that they can put you in contact with some being greater than you, or put you in contact with yourself, that you're a god of some type. Well, in these last days, the Bible spoke of them. In 1 John 4:1, John writes, now this is the NIV version, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit." Those spirits are the voices that we're hearing today. And John says, "But test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And of late we have had many individuals to claim they are Christ, to have claimed they have the answers, and after they've been put to the test, we found that they did not have the answers." Another critical passage in our modern era, this verse emphasizes that believers are not to be naive about claims of spiritual authority, gullibility, or accepting such claims. Instead, believers are cautioned to subject the spirits to testing to see whether they are of God or not. The presence of false prophets claiming the authority of the Holy Spirit only underscores the necessity of testing the spirits. This testing is an evaluation of spiritual claims based upon the authority of scriptures. This is the second verse of 1 John 4:2. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, there's two tests. One is that the individual will deny that Christ has come in the flesh, that he was a man. And the other side to that is that people will deny his deity. Christ was both man, he was come in the flesh, and he was both God. The scripture tells us that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He was made a little lower than the angels. He found himself in flesh and blood, and he humbled himself. And the scripture says, even to the death of the cross. Those are the two criteria. Demon spirits, the demonic, will not acknowledge Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, will not acknowledge his deity. And these are the tests that you, anyone that has these problem areas in their doctrine, in their teaching, we are to reject them. We are to reject what they say, even if they have credentials, even if they come with signs and wonders. Paul wrote in Galatians that though an angel come to you preaching another gospel, let him be accursed. Why would Paul write this? I wonder in these last days that there may be some beings come, perhaps in a UFO, perhaps aliens, but even an angel. Paul says, if they come and preach another gospel to you, let them be accursed. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the way. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the Bible says the ends thereof are death. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. One name given among men whereby ye must be born again, Jesus Christ.
Amen, Pastor. Thank you. Again, if you'd like to call this evening real quick, the phone number is 448-5061. We're going to try and take one if you want to try it. And out of the area, it's 1-330-448-5061. I want to give our address this evening. If you would like to contact us for any reason, we have a couple means that you can do that. And you can write us at Issues and Answers, Post Office Box 432, Brookfield, Ohio, and the zip is 44403. And if you want to email us, the email address has changed. So listen closely. If you think you have our email address, it has changed. We now have another provider, and it is ufosd@infonline.net. That's all one word, ufosd@infonline.net. And if you would like to make statements about the programming, let us know what you think about it, what you don't like about it, or if you'd like to submit questions, or you'd like for us to be open to a different category of research, you can feel free to contact us through those two means and do so. Or you can call us at the church and leave a message there, or contact Pastor Gary at the phone number is what, 394-1473? Okay, 394-1473, the First Assembly of God. And if you have any comments you would like to direct toward Pastor Gary, he'll be there to answer those. And we'll try to communicate with you more closely on issues that you might be concerned about. Now, tonight I'm going to go to an ad here very quickly. I have a couple ads I want to do because I want to try to get this information out. We have been on the air now for about 3 months. We have not asked for money, nor will we. But we're coming up to a time when we have made a contract, which will end sometime in February. And we need to know whether anyone is listening to our program or whether you want us to continue to try to communicate this information with you. I feel that the information is relevant. Even though it's costly to do this, we would attempt to continue to do it with God's help to stay on the air and bring you information on these subjects and relating to prophecy and the end of the age events. So we're just letting you know now that we are at the point where we have to make a decision in the very near future whether to continue the programming, and we just hope that you'll respond in some form. Let us know what you think, whether you like it or dislike it. We need to know to help us make that decision. We're going to go to the ad at this time, and it's an ad about Bob Kaminsky's book. Listen closely to that, and after that runs, we'll come back, and I'll make some closing commentary. At key moments in history, God provides extraordinary spiritual insight meant to alert mankind to destructive forces engulfing his creation.
We are now at that threshold in time where we can either respond to the warnings of God's wisdom or be drawn away by the lure of lying wonders spoken of in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. Finally, here is a book that offers a timely and fascinating look into some of the strange happenings invading Christianity today. Bob Kaminsky, a Catholic charismatic, explores the trendy New Age paranormal experiences and UFO phenomena with a unique and in-depth insight into the consciousness event he calls the Luciferic Initiation. The old trickster Lucifer has left no stone unturned in the attempt to delude mankind into accepting that which is not supported by God's word. This book will inform the reader and challenge the many paths to God's teaching espoused by today's New Age proponents. In addition, you will see the importance of protecting your mind from the deceptive awareness and higher level consciousness experience. For a copy of Lying Wonders, send $10 to Jim Cunningham, Post Office Box 432, Brookfield, Ohio, 44403, shipping and handling included. Do it today. Okay, that's the ad for the book. We trust that you'll take advantage of that. We've been advertising, by the way, this material also for the last 3 months. As of yet, we have not received one order for any of the video or books. That's not real encouraging, ladies and gentlemen, when you make it available. I would make it available free if it will help, but I couldn't do that on a large scale. But if I had a few people, if I had 50 people that wanted it free and you can't afford it, you let me know and you'll get it in the mail. So we'll make that. That's about the good offers you're going to get today, I think. So nevertheless, we want you to have the information. We put a price on it, naturally, to try to help subsidize the cost of the programming. But that's not a must. We're here to do a ministry. That's the most important thing. We're trying to raise the awareness for people on these issues. Next week, we haven't decided yet. Maybe you can help me make a decision this week by contacting me through the email method, ufosd@infoonline.net, or Issues and Answers, Post Office Box 432, Brookfield, Ohio, 44403. What I'm thinking about is New World Order, a program on the New World Order, which is tons of material on that, and the other being the Mark of the Beast. I'm leaning towards the Mark of the Beast, but if there's a response out there and you want one or the other, or again, something else, you let me know this week and we'll do our best to deal with it for you. So I'm going to read a little bit of an excerpt from my manuscript that I wrote back in 1979. And it's amazing. I felt while I wrote this that his hand was heavy upon me. As Bob talked about in the middle of the night, there were many nights I said, Lord, I can't take any more of this. This stuff is just too heavy. No one wants to hear about it. And it doesn't even seem relevant at this time. But now we're coming into the era when it seems relevant. People are becoming interested in the occult and the UFO phenomenon especially. So I'm going to read a little excerpt from my manuscript that basically was a summation of what I feel that the UFO phenomena and all the paranormal related material is all about. So here's how it reads. It says, finally, the occult today is very much alive and in action. Now, this was 1979 that I saw this, and you can imagine the difference between then and now. The New Age movement is just another of those recent manifestations. Some occult practices are easily distinguished. Others have an aura of benevolence about them and need to be discerned, taking the full counsel of God into consideration when doing so. Satan has left his mark throughout history. Listen closely on that. I believe as a point of reference to persuade from at the end of the age. You can see this mark in many religions on all continents throughout history. UFOs have been used by Satan. Likewise, God's angels seem to use the same mode for travel. You may disagree with that. The universe is bigger than the mind can conceive. Life on other planets is very likely, some rebellious, others not. Angels have bodies superior to what we now possess, that is, good and fallen angels. These bodies may be able to take on different forms, yet they are localized, such as ourselves. God himself seems to have a body that is localized, and you may disagree with that, such as sitting on a throne, or one that goes for a walk in the garden, or one that visits a friend for dinner. Yet he still is in control and is the supreme of all realities. It would be foolish to try to explain his total attributes beyond this, for what man can know them completely. Yet we can see, he said, we are created in his image. However, what he wants us to pursue is not his physical, and again, you may disagree with that, but he wants us to pursue his spiritual attributes. So basically, angels, good and bad, probably have domestic lifestyles much like ours, yet the good seem to be in the perfect will of God and the fallen angels are not. Satan's angels can duplicate the system that brings miracles to us, so it would seem just as they did when Moses confronted the magicians and sorcerers. Therefore, discernment is necessary. Look for spiritual freedom, not just physical satisfaction. And in closing, very quickly, I want to get to a scripture, and we're going to go, I guess, to the music. We're not going to be able to get the second ad in, but it's this, 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Spirit clearly says, in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And I think that that's where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. We're at that point. So with that, we're going to say goodbye. God bless. See you next week. Get in contact with us. Let us know what you want to do.
As we approach the end of the millennium, many voices are sounding out the alarm. And in the process, none speaks more clearly than Norio Hawakawa and Anthony Hilder. In their newest video, The Panic Project, Norio, Anthony, John Lear, and a host of others present mind-boggling information about aliens, underground bases, bioengineering lab facilities, where it is claimed world governments have been successful in cloning human-type creatures to perform some yet unknown task in the near future. For a copy of The Panic Project, a two-hour video presentation, send $24.95 to Norio Hawakawa. That's Norio Hawakawa, spelled this way, N-O-R-I-O-H-A-Y-A-K-A-W-A, Post Office Box 599, Gardena, California, 90248. Do it today.